listening to the Hometown Losers, the St. Louis Sports Podcast, with Josh, Adam, and OJ.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back here to the Hometown Losers Podcast. This is session number 16. I'm joined, as always, here by OJ and Adam. Gentlemen, how are we doing today on this very gloomy Thursday?
Well, hey, it's Thursday, so it's great to be back with you guys. So doing good otherwise.
This is not a gloomy Thursday. Mizzou won a NCAA basketball game for the first time in like years. So that's pretty sick.
That does make a good NCAA day. March Madness.
Tournament basketball game.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah, I got you. But yeah. I'm into, obviously, by the weather. I was actually outside trying to do some frisbee golf. It was like, all right, we're going to try to get like this nine-hole course that's right next to my house. We're going to try to get this in right before the rain comes in. And so we were just finishing up on like hole number nine. We're like, rain's going to hold off. It's sprinkling a little bit, but we'll be fine. Let's run it back. So we start walking back to like the first hole because it's just a nine-hole course. Going to play through again, and all of a sudden, here comes St. Louis weather. Just start pouring out of nowhere. We're like, all right, we're not going to do this.
And open up the pit, and that was it.
By the time I even got home, though, it stopped raining completely. I was like, really? All right.
That's how it goes.
Right? Yeah, but it did like continue to rain. It's actually raining out here right now, Adam. I know that you're
– Oh, yeah.
We're all kind of spread out.
I just drove through it just a little bit ago, and, of course – it was raining all the way home, and then now it stops. So I'm like, that's how it goes. So, but yeah. I'm hopeful that, you know, that it's going to be, you know, decent weather here pretty soon. So springtime's literally, I think, like next week. So, which means more spring for sports as well. So obviously baseball's right around the corner here in like damn near 2 weeks. We're going to be, you know, we got opening day for the Cardinals. So looking forward to that. We're going to have, it's going to be crazy. Literally like the 2nd of April, we're going to have Cardinals game, a Blues game, a Battlehawks game, a St. Louis City SC game. And we like all of the sports all at one time. It's going to be an overload. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, only a few of those games are going to really matter here. You know, because speaking of the Blues here, we are currently holding the 8th overall pick. So we actually, since last time we talked last week in session 15, we were holding the 9th or 10th because we were tied. It just depends on which, you know, projection you were looking at. But we are the clear cut pick right now for the 8th overall. We now currently have a 6% chance at the 1st overall pick in the lottery. That is a 1% chance increase since last week. So hopefully we can continue to lose.
Well, and, I was going to say, so those games actually are important because obviously if we continue to lose, then their odds will increase. So these games are important in that sense as well. 100%. Sure. So I was like, that's why I was pissed about the game that we ended up winning against friggin' the Blue Jackets. I was like, of all damn games, win. Why? you know? It's like, oh, man, guys.
Gotta lose
the game. It's like, that's one lose. Game we absolutely need to tank on, you know?
We're gonna tank Columbus, okay? Not at this point.
I'm just saying, like.
They have too far of a lead, honestly.
Like, but at least it increases our odds, though. That's all.
Yeah, OJ, and that's a good point because, like, really, when you take a look at it, Columbus, I mean, there is a chance that we could surpass Columbus, so to speak, or Columbus could surpass us in points. That would be the more accurate term. But it's going to be really tough. I mean, there's not that many games left, really, in the season. But for me, like, I would like to, again, get into the top five we can because I feel like if we get into the top five, obviously, we have a better chance of the number one overall. But realistically,
you're looking at, like, almost a 10% chance, potentially.
Yeah, I think it's actually, it's like it's 10, I think. Yeah, I think right.
Yeah, somewhere around there or whatever, you know, I would think.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know.
Yeah. Especially because, like, for me, though, the top five historically have been just a lot better of production or products, you know, for the rest of the first round draft, even though this is supposed to be a very deep draft. It's going to be interesting to see what's going on, and it's going to be very interesting to see if Army makes any deals, you know, during the draft because we do have the 3 first round picks. You know what I mean?
Might be able to trade up for sure.
I definitely think his preference is to make a trade because I think he would. Well, you know, he had the whole comments about he's looking for like 26-year-old or younger. So he's probably trying to get, you know, some known quantities rather than just take all the picks. But
for sure. Yeah. Because again, it goes back to you want to retool rather than completely rebuild.
Yeah. Exactly. But we definitely need some younger blood, and we obviously need some people to give a shit out there, because we just haven't seen the effort. So as we say it week after week.
Yeah.
Like we see, you know, other than good old Benny, who seems to
still
be fired up.
Speaking of showing effort, last night, Bennington gets in a fight after getting scored upon.
We were denied a goalie fight, damn it.
We were denied
No, we weren't really denied
it. We were denied a goalie fight because the fact is the linesman pulled them away. That's my point.
The only reason why Fleury came out, though, was the fact that the linesmen were already on
Bennington. I get that,
Bennington.
But I'm just saying, yeah. Bennington could have came after. But I'm telling you, if they wouldn't have pulled back Bennington, he would have went after him.
Well, sure.
Why wouldn't he?
So we were denied a goalie fight.
The seat for so long. Like, everybody.
So am I wrong in saying that we were denied a goalie fight then?
Fighting Mark Fleury. Like,
okay.
I mean, yes and no, because Adam, the reason why I say no is because let's say Bennington wasn't like wrapped up, the linesman went for, you know, somebody else in the scrum, so to speak, and like Bennington was just kind of pulled away by like a teammate or something like that. I do not at all believe Fleury would have skated out at all. I think he would have stayed right where he's at. I think the only reason why he went out is because he recognized he wasn't going to have the fight. He was going out there, you know, like essentially being like, oh, look at me, I'm bad. Like, I will fight, but, you know, he's never fought in his life. You know what I mean? Kind of thing. So I don't know. But because weren't you also saying, Adam, too, that he was mic'd up and like was saying something specifically about
he specifically went out there and said, let's do this to Bennington. And then they pulled Bennington back. They pulled him back. And that's when he actually started to try to get a little bit closer. But at that point, Bennington was already, you know, basically being pulled back by the linesman at that point, you know, like basically like saying that there's no altercation is going to happen here. We're going to prevent it from happening. We'll get in between you two for sure. And then Fleury said, you know, oh, well, never mind. You know, he's like, oh, and then he said a really weird comment. He said something about his hair, like, oh, I don't like my hair. You know, like my hair's messed up or whatever. Comment, really strange. And then he's like, all right, fine, we'll let it go. But he said it'd be really good, you know, for the crowd or whatever. He didn't make that comment. Like, he was just looking at it more of a production value than an actual real fight, pretty much, than anything, I think.
Sure.
Well, yeah,
should do his hair. That's crazy.
He wasn't legitimately there to really fight. That's the point.
Well, from what I've heard, he actually has said he wants to get in a fight before he retires. So he might actually. I mean, that
might be. But he sure didn't seem fired up. That's all my point is that whenever he's out there mic'd up, he sure didn't seem like he was all riled up. Really, not nearly as much as Bennington does. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, like
he might have tried to fight, but I'm just saying he didn't have a lot of passion for it. It's not like he went out there, you know, hoping that for sure, you know, he was all fired up for it, you know.
Yeah.
He seemed very passive.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely was by the time he got down there, the ref had already had Bennington for like a minute. So, you know, it was like he's not going to let him go to fight.
So I can tell you that I've seen Fleury do something very similar to this when I was in Pittsburgh for a Pittsburgh game. It was the Penguins versus the Canadiens, and something happened where Carey Price was not very happy about a situation that happened. Wasn't on a goal or anything like that. I think it's something was just said. Something was said to him, and he took exception. Right. So he went over there and started some trouble. Carey Price is already like getting wrapped up and like pushed away and stuff like that by teammates. And here comes Marc-Andre Fleury out into the middle of the ice, throws down his gloves and mask and stands in the middle of the ice. Like, come on, bro. Come at me. Obviously, the entire crowd is going nuts because they want to see this goalie fight. Well, everything was already over. Literally, by the time he got there, the lineman turned around and goes, really? And like went over and like talked to him. Was like, no, this is not happening. So I've seen this before where, you know, he's like, I want to fight. But it's like, dude, then why are you showing up like super late? You know what I mean? But that's just my opinion when I because I've seen it before.
I think the main thing here is obviously since that was a, you know, turns out to be a bunch of nothing. It was more the fact that, you know, Bennington obviously, you know, definitely threw a blow to Hartman and his head is for sure.
Hartman, that's who it was. Yeah, and yeah. He got a 2-game suspension for it.
He let did. Me, he got me... a 2-game suspension for that. So that was, well, originally I think he was assessed, what, a 5-minute major on that. And then I think a suspension. Yeah, and then he got the 2-game suspension after the review today. So,
yeah. I think one would have been sufficient.
Well, I think
I was expecting 1 game. I'll be honest with you. I really thought it was going to be a 1-game suspension for real. I was a little surprised it was 2, but it is what it is.
But I mean, from my understanding,
get him his blocker.
Yeah. I mean, the fact is that Hartman did kind of go after him, at least after the, you know, I saw what he was trying to do. Obviously, he was going over to celebrate, but at the same time, he did clip him. And so it's like, you know, when he was going by, you know.
Yeah, I kind of think he did it accidental on purpose, to tell you.
Yeah, it kind of looked like it to me.
Over and over again. It's like he had plenty of time to see him and stop what he was doing. So I understand Bennington going after him. For
sure. Yeah.
It was fun to watch him just drop him too. Like,
he did though. That's pretty interesting. You know,
but man, he made it count. That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I rewatched the angle, and Hartman like sees him coming, and you can see Hartman almost go like, "What? You know, like, what are you gonna do?" And then just gets knocked the hell out, falls straight down. That was pretty priceless to see. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. He just went straight down. But that was it.
And I could be completely wrong too, but I thought that, you know, if you were assessed a game misconduct, that the reason why it would be a 2-game suspension is that one actually counts as the first game that suspension. Oh, really? So he will.
Oh, really? So that technically says that was the suspension. So he would only really have to sit another game.
Hmm. Right. I think I could. And I could totally be wrong on that. Maybe that's something that's like assessed in the first penalty, because this was at the end of the second period. And I said first penalty, but I meant first period.
Yeah, period.
Obviously. This was
because technically he did serve a suspension during the game, in essence. So,
correct. Yeah, and was thrown out of the game. So that could be. I don't know. I thought there was something.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's technically like, you know, because depending on when the penalty it was assessed. I mean, in theory, if it was 2 games on top of it, you know, it happened in the first period. It was almost a 3-game. You know, penalty or a 3-game suspension potentially, you know, for something like that. That would suck. Well, let's hope that it's we'll see. I haven't heard. I just heard obviously that they came out and said 2 games, so.
Yeah. And OJ, you and I were talking a little bit about this game yesterday. And I was actually watching the World Baseball Classic. I was not watching the Blues game, but you kind of were telling me a little bit more about how you felt that the Blues weren't able to even get gritty at all, because essentially the refs were coming down with the hammer on them and allowing the Wild kind of to do anything at all. You kind of want to touch on that a little bit, OJ?
Yeah, it's felt like that for a while now, not just even this year. It kind of feels like at some point after they won the Cup, the NHL was wanting to crack down even further on physical play. And it felt like any time the Blues started to get physical, they'd get hammered with a penalty. And so, and I mean, like, even stuff that you could theoretically let go, you know what I mean? As soon as the Blues try to amp up the physical intensity whatsoever, it's okay, we're going to start calling ticky-tacky stuff. And it just makes it feel like it's hard for them to really play their style, because, you know, they, at least they used to have a very physical, aggressive style. So it feels like attempt to, you know, fuck us over specifically.
Well, and the thing that I will say about that too is I do believe that it just feels truthfully that a lot of the, let's just say, more physical playing styles are kind of going away. Like, they're going the way of the dodo bird here, in that the NHL is trying to get more like fast, more like sleek plays and stuff like that, if that makes sense. And I don't know if there's been emphasis on that at all, or if it's just, again, we're trying to go for player safety. I'm not terribly too certain what it is, but it does feel that penalty minutes are up. And a lot of the stuff that I have seen just from the few games that, and not even just the Blues games, really, because I watched a few Carolina games where there was like a hooking call specifically where the dude put his stick in front of the guy Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like he was literally pulling back on him or trying to stop his progression in the play. But what he was doing is he was putting his stick and he literally just put it over like where the dude's hand, like not even the hands, on the other dude's stick. So he's trying to like stop him from being able to lift his stick to allow the shot. They called a hooking on it. And I'm like, what? I'm like, yeah. That's not even close to being hooking. Like, you know, are you trying to say slash? Because like technically the stick was up in his hands. But that didn't happen either. There was a different game, too, I watched where Tampa Bay Lightning, and it's almost a similar play. Defender is coming. He gets kind of beat on a wing shot here. Point moves over to the right side. There is the defender is like gets his stick down on the player stick who's about to shoot. Right. And he shoots his stick. Right. The shooter shoots his stick. So the defender's stick rides up into the to the player's gloves. Clearly, the shooter started this interaction. Ref called a slashing because the stick got into the gloves. I'm like, what? He literally was just holding his stick there. And I get it. You're responsible for your stick, but that's not slash. There was no ill intent there just because the stick went up in the hands. I don't know. Those were just a couple of the ones that I've seen, but there's been a lot of questionable calls in the select few games that I've seen. So, you know, obviously, you know, from my sample of games I've seen, it seems that there is, as you said, OJ, a lot more ticky-tacky goals on even more just basic plays and physicality in hockey.
Right. That's what it seems like to me. So I guess that's why Armstrong keeps drafting like speed offense oriented guys, and then Berube wants to put them to uses. He wants them to go bang bodies.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing about it is, like, Berube is a good coach, but maybe his style is just something that the NHL is not really going to allow very much. I don't know.
I think he might have to adapt a little bit. I mean, but the thing is, you know, you can still accomplish a lot of what you used to do without being physical, right?
Right.
Like, you just play good defense. You just have to go about it a different way.
For sure. Probably makes sense. Adam, were you going to say something to this?
I just was going to say the irony, though, is yesterday, I don't know if you knew, but Ric Flair was actually in the house and actually was reading the starting lineup for the Blues. And I'm thinking, here it is. We're talking about not wanting to be physical yet. We got Ric Flair representing the Blues yesterday in the house while we're literally about to have a potential goalie fight on the ice. I'm thinking, man, what are the odds? So.
What are the odds?
What are the odds? So, anyway.
Wow. So, yeah, it is what it is. The Blues, continue to lose. And
that's actually what we wanted to see right now. I mean, well, we don't really want to see it, but obviously we want to increase our odds.
Exactly. We don't want to see it, but we want the better chance, obviously.
We do. We want the better chance because at this point,
you lose,
you know,
while not watching. How about that?
Yeah, they're not. I'm not watching right now because obviously, you know, to me, the season's over. So let's just hope for a better, shoot for a better draft picks at this point. So it is what it is.
More entertaining things to watch.
Thankfully, right, I've got some other sports to be watching right now. So we have a lot of other sports that are going on.
To me, there is some interesting stuff to watch. I mean, Jakub Vrana, he keeps scoring. Like, that looks like a nice little thing if he keeps it up, you know.
I watch highlights still, and I'll watch the condensed games. I won't watch a full game anymore just because it hurts too much. Yeah. But to your point, OJ, like, Verana is coming out with something to prove, and his positioning has been absolutely excellent. And that goes a long way when you're trying to play on the wing. He just seems to be, it does seem like he's Johnny in the spot, but it's not. It's literally positioning. And I think that he's potentially going to be able to get bigger minutes next year. We don't know, obviously, what we're going to look like after the draft and, you know, if any trades are made before the training camp and stuff like that. But I think that if things kind of stay apples to apples, he's going to see some second line minutes. He might even see first line minutes. The way he's been playing, he's got something to prove, and I like it a lot. And he's playing with a lot of pride, which is something that I think we've all been talking about. We need more on the team.
Absolutely. 100%.
Well, let's get to something that, again, one of the other sports that has been more, let's just say, entertaining, the Blues sub 500. World Baseball Classic is wrapped up its group play and has gone to the quarterfinals here. So out of the results here, Group A, it was Cuba winning the group and Italy being up in the secondary. Now, excuse me, secondary. They were the runners up in the group. And I think We all had the Netherlands and Panama.
Totally bombed that one. Yeah.
Netherlands were 2-0, lost their next two games, and went down on the tiebreaker, which is crazy.
Could not believe that, you know, after such a start like that.
And so, especially because Kubo was 0-2.
Yeah, and then just completely flipped it around. So I guess they were listening.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, we just want to be the in Group B, I believe we all had Japan and Korea as like the two stronger baseball nations out of that group. Japan went to win it. They were 4-0 and perfect. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't Korea. Korea really did not do well. It was Australia that got the second out of that. Adam, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Japan was, you know, there. I think a lot of people had Japan as, you know, definitely a contender, and they certainly proved it. And obviously, you know, having Otani pitching that shutout as well, you know, they've got a talented team right now for sure. So they're a force to be reckoned with.
In Group C, everybody was correct. We had United States and Mexico coming out of that one. But we had it kind of reversed. I think that we all kind of agreed that USA was probably
unfortunately that game versus Mexico, that sucked.
Got away from us early, and we just couldn't find our footing from there. Nope.
Yeah, that game kind of sucked for us, for sure.
Our pitchers were trash. I don't know what teams they play for, but they should probably be free agents after that performance. Yeah. So.
Yeah. But, again, USA does come out of it as the runner-up to Mexico in that group. So they are through to the quarterfinals. In Group D, we had I think this is where we differed. I think OJ and I had a Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico, and Adam, you had Dominican Republic and Venezuela, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and Venezuela made it through.
Yeah, we were all half correct.
We were half correct. Yeah, you all had Puerto Rico fell apart and went through, and I got Venezuela and got that went through, which obviously U.S. will be versus Venezuela.
Venezuela.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a very tough game because Venezuela is as well. Puerto Rico did make it through as the runner up in that one.
And
just
gonna be
a few
great
more
game to see too, Puerto Rico in Mexico. So that's gonna be a really exciting game tomorrow for sure.
Yeah, I was just about to say, so just to speak, there's two other games of the quarterfinals that have already been played. Cuba went up against Australia. Cuba, who started this thing 0-2, is one of the last three games. They are now in semifinals, which will be a best of three series, if I remember correctly. Japan beat Italy, which can't believe Italy even got that far. But
it is surprising. Yeah, but they dominated them like 9-3. So,
yeah. And as you mentioned, Adam, you have Puerto Rico versus Mexico tomorrow. Going to be incredibly.
That's going to be a really good game. I want to see that game for sure.
Yes, and then Saturday we have U.S. versus Venezuela, and again we are the way team. So that's all the results have been done so far here. But I'm just going to. Let's talk about how USA has done so far, right? You know, I have some stats here that we'll go through, but I want to just kind of get your overall feelings of like what you've seen so far and how you feel that the USA team is doing. OJ, let's start with you. What are your feelings on this USA team in the WBC?
Well, I mean, it's pretty much the same as it was originally. You know, they got a killer lineup and their pitching needs a lot of work. Mm-hmm. It would be really nice if we had some American pitchers with the testicular fortitude to pitch for their country rather than just try and preserve their arms for their paycheck. So,
well, and there is things about that. Like Clayton Kershaw, for example, was actually slated to be on the roster, but it wasn't even he wanted to play. It was insurance. So legitimately the Dodgers insurance, because of his injury history and his advanced, quote unquote, advanced age, would not allow him to play. So it was really the Dodgers.
That is so wrong. That's so wrong. That's a problem with our country. If we're allowing someone.
It's like we don't give a shit about representing our country. So we're just more concerned about this. And it's like, that's shitty. I mean, I understand that an all-star game because it's like but it's like, come on now. We haven't had one of these for like six freaking years. Come on.
You're gonna play for your national pride.
Absolutely.
It's more important to represent your country than it is your club. I'm sorry,
but for sure.
That's the thing that I will say 100%. that they get right in football. Like soccer worldwide, once the World Cup comes around, every club in the entire world, including MLS, goes on hold. They know that all their players, if they are selected, are going to go play. Now, there are a few games that they have that continue on, stuff like that, but most of the time they're friendlies or they're just expedition matches and stuff like that. You know, they're not actual like league matches and stuff like that, because essentially they know that not everyone's going to get picked, but you got to kind of keep those guys, you know, fit and healthy and stuff.
Sure.
But they know, like Real Madrid, 90% of their roster is going to be representing some country because they're so damn good. You know what I mean? Yeah. Same thing with like
Arsenal. And as they should, you know, and those guys should show up and represent their country. Like you said, OJ, I 100% agree with that. So, but, you know, we have a great lineup, you know, going back to, you know, what you were saying before, I agree. Our lineup is stellar. We don't have to worry about that, you know, with, you know, with Goldschmidt and Arenado and Trey Turner, you know, and Mookie Betts and Mike Trout. These guys, we've got a great lineup for sure. It's just that, unfortunately, we couldn't find any decent pitching, unfortunately. So it is what it is.
It's not over. Some standouts.
It's not over. I'm not saying it's impossible. We still have a shot. But if we would have been able to lock down some solid pitching, you know, this would have been a no-brainer.
But yeah, now I would feel like Japan would be the favorite between the two of us.
It's like, damn it, Otani, why couldn't you play for us? I mean, I get it, obviously, you know, he wanted to play for three. Like, but damn it, why couldn't you play for Team USA?
Team USA is kind of finding its stride. And, like, I noticed, I don't think they played, like, McNeil in the last game, for instance, you know, so I think they're starting to make some adjustments to their roster based on who's hitting and who's not.
Yeah.
You know, so get Pete Alonso up out
there. Yep.
Yeah, that's actually – I'm going to go through this real quick, guys. So, because I have some stats to go over about, like, just some big outliers, right? So, like, Trout is batting .417 on average, obviously really good. He's got a triple, a homer, six RBIs, has struck out four times. Nato's having a very good WBC, amazing, not just defensively. Yes. But he's a .333 on average. He's got three doubles, four RBIs, only two strikeouts. Goldschmidt is .273 on average. He's got a double, six walks. He's been incredible with his eye and his patience. He does have two strikeouts. But to your point, OJ, Jeff McNeil, 1-for-8 so far. And then my biggest one is Pete Alonso, the quote-unquote power bat that he brought in to be your DH. He's 0-for-9 with four fucking strikeouts. Really? Like, you know, Tim Anderson's been playing pretty good and stuff too. But to me, there's only two pitchers that stand out really well. You know, that's Lance Lynn, Waino. Waino was okay. He obviously had a very shaky start, but it's just classic Waino. He gives up a run in like the first inning.
Yeah, he did. And he gave up that first home run right away in the first inning. And then he started to kind of get his nerves back in check for sure. But I was a little nervous, though, for him. I saw that, you know, he gave up that home run in the first inning. I was like, ah, shit, here we go. But it seemed like he was still pitching and he was still finding the strike zone. And, you know, he was still throwing, you know, curveballs like, we've been seeing for the past, you know, 20 years still. You know, the guy still got it, believe it or not, for being like, whatever, 41 years old. So,
yeah.
Which is he's not going to be able to go as long, obviously. But obviously in the WBC, that is a little different from my understanding anyway. Those guys have a tendency to share that role from a little bit more. So
they have a fifth pitch count.
Yeah. And so that's great for, and that really honestly is good for a Waino for sure, because he can deliver that for sure. Because obviously you leave him in longer, he's going to start getting tired, you know?
Well, the 65 for the first round. But in the finals, it's going to be up to 90 pitches. You know what I mean? For a starting pitcher.
Sorry. Yeah.
Waino pitched four innings and gave up five hits, one run, and struck out four. So, I mean, that's pretty good, obviously.
That is pretty good, honestly. Yeah.
Some four strikeouts. Yeah. His ERA doesn't. Go on, OJ.
Oh, I was just about to ask what his ERA is.
Yeah, 2.25, which I don't think is necessarily really. Like, because he only pitched the four innings, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think it should be lower. It is what it is. He gave up the one run on the home run, but that's it.
Yeah, that was the first inning, so.
Exactly. Was able to
get out of Davis. He looks pretty solid after that, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, 2.25 is a ERA, so he's pitching well. You know, limited.
I tell you,
he shook it off pretty well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who has looked really good to me is Lance Lynn. Lance Lynn looked incredibly in control. He only gave up the one run, but he in five innings gave up one run, again a homer, two hits, gave up two hits and five runs, six strikeouts, ERA 1.8. He looked just in control, and if he did not come up to the pitch limit, I think that he could have at least gone a complete game. Like, he just looked very, like, dialed in the entire time.
Him and Tim Anderson, yeah. They pitched that. That was a crazy game. Oh, my God. We got actually run limited or whatever.
You know, I would be all for getting Lance Lynn back at some point.
I agree.
Because, I mean, how wrong was everybody? Like, they're like, oh, he's a guy who only throws fastballs. He's going to be terrible when he gets old. Like,
he's still and the dude's 35 and still doing great. So fastballs.
He's like, what's the dude in Southbound Down or Eastbound and Down? Who's that guy?
Danny McBride's character. Oh my God. Yeah, it's like I should know this.
Powers.
Yeah, Kenny Powers. That's it. Yeah, Kenny Powers.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, he still just throws fastballs.
And the thing about it too, OJ, their demeanors are almost the same. Obviously, like, you know, you don't know what Lance Lynn is sitting out there. You're just like cursing out everybody. But they both have like the mean mug and like, I'm so much better than you. Yeah. Like, it's just kind of funny.
Yeah.
I would love to see Lance Lynn come out with like a giant mullet and some aviators.
Oh, hell yeah. <He's hilarious. laughs> who's he playing for this year?
White Sox.
Still on the White Sox. Damn. No. Well, hopefully we can maybe acquire him.
Yeah, he's still got, I think, 2 or 3 years left on that contract. I don't know if the Cardinals necessarily go after that due to the fact that he's obviously a little older, but I'm sorry.
Super old now. Yeah.
Yeah. 35. Yeah. So by the time he's finishing up that contract, if he's saying it's 2 or 3 years, yeah, he'll be getting close to 40. So.
And I think it's a little too rich right now, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, well, the Cardinals have shown up in the World Baseball Classic for sure. We've already talked about Nato. We talked about goal-eating Waino. Newt has had a pretty good World Baseball Classic. He's batting .368. Three ribbies. He's got four walks. He does have five strikeouts, though. He's been a lot of miss. Now, the weird thing about it is, Japan obviously does have the number one offense when you look at the metrics in the WBC right now, but they also have a lot of strikeouts. That's like seems how they're getting out. They're either hitting the ball safely or they're striking out. It's kind of crazy. Go ahead.
Like, he probably had a ton of at bats so far because like they've scored so many runs that they have. He has to be getting like 5-6 at bats a game. So like he's probably more strikeouts than some of the other guys.
Yeah, you know, for his like strikeout ratio is going to be probably average, if not below, because I think he's gotten like 20 something at bats in four
generally
games.
Generally doesn't strike out very much, so I wouldn't expect to be higher strikeout guys, but who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's had 19 at bats in five games so far. I just looked.
So,
yeah.
Go on. Yeah.
Oh, that's not as much as I was thinking, but I guess.
Yeah, so about four. Yeah, on average, about four at bats per.
I forgot to count for the mercy rules.
Yep. Yeah. So we did have the game. Yeah, obviously, we had one of those as well versus Canada. So, but yeah, they have them as well.
Tommy Edman for Korea didn't do that well. 2 for 11 out, but he out of both of his hits, he got an RBI. He got two RBIs. Did have two strikeouts and only a walk. Not the greatest performance from Tommy Edman, really just Korea in general. This is the pitcher for, not for Venezuela, for Colombia, Zuniga?
Yeah. Some guy I've never heard of, but yeah.
He is on our 40-man roster. Obviously, he's pitched AAA, but the dude was very impressive. You know, he pitched three innings, one hit, six strikeouts, zero ERA, and a 1-0 record. He looks pretty good. We saw him a little bit last night. He looked phenomenal.
He looked really good. Like, that dude might be on the 25 man. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Him too.
Mm-hmm. Mercado also for Colombia had an average 308. He got a double in RBI. He did strike out three times and did get caught stealing twice. But the average is there. You know what I mean? Like, he's obviously been able to hit pretty well. He does have some overall speed. But two caught stealing out of two attempts is, but again, as you said, OJ, last week, that there is an art to stealing bases. You could be the fastest person in the world, but if you just don't know how to get the jump, you're not going to be able to get there most of the time.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Getting to some pitching here, because I think the next three that I have are pitcher. Michaelis, two innings pitched, three hits allowed, zero ERA, two strikeouts. Gallegos, almost the exact same thing, guys. Two innings pitched, zero ERA, two strikeouts, but he only allowed one hit. He looked very good for Mexico. Jojo Romero, 2.1 innings pitched, gave up three hits, one run, two strikeouts. Bro Neal, makes me feel really good about Tyler O'Neill maybe having a bounce back season for the Cardinals. Average 6.15, two doubles, four Jesus. RBIs, five walks. He did strike out four times, but he walked five times. That to me, if Tyler O'Neill can come into this season having more walks than strikeouts, which it most likely obviously is not going to happen, but then that means that we're having some good, because Tyler O'Neill was not patient at the plate last year at all, and really has not been since, you know, coming off of injury.
Yeah, and he's obviously not the reason Canada's not advancing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think that Tyler O'Neill had a better WBC than Freddie Freeman did, who played for Team Canada. You know what I mean? So I think that really, just even the slugging and hitting aspects of things. He also played center field and looked very good and very comfortable in center field as well. To me, like, it's just high optimism for me for Tyler O'Neill. They'll hopefully have a bounce back year.
Yeah. And from what I've seen, Carlson's having an okay spring so far too. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I really think that's the three you go with probably to start the season, and you'll see Jordan Walker later on.
Yeah, that is for sure. I mean, I think that Walker has done enough where it's just too hard to ignore. But you you're going to have to give the people that have been there the start. But once injuries happen, hopefully you don't have them, but once injuries happen, they do.
That's whenever he gets his chance as well. You have
this guy. Exactly, yeah. Right. Yeah.
And or then even, he can or fight even give him a day, you know, give somebody a day off as well. You know, let him slide in.
I also saw somebody mention that you could go with, like, since you have basically three people capable of playing center field, you could go with like a four-man outfield rotation. And like they would, that way they'd all get like a lot of time, but it would be less than a normal center fielder's workload, obviously, or outfielder period. But you could keep them all on the roster that way.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point too, because you can have that rotation and kind of ride ride the hot hand, so to speak. Right. I just do believe it's going to be, it's just hard, and I don't envy Marmol at all for what the choices he's going to have to make as well, because he's going to make somebody unhappy, whether that's some fans for the Cardinals or players. I think it's going to be obviously both. I mean, you can't start four people for three positions. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I think that it's going to be I don't know. You know, like we kind of talked about this a lot for the past couple of weeks. You know, is Walker going to be able to get there? But I just don't think you can overrule Carlson or, you know, Tyler O'Neill, especially Tyler O'Neill, who's now looks like he's going to be on a, you know, comeback. You know what I mean? I just don't think that you can give him that chance for like the starting roster, so to speak.
Well, exactly. Because, you know, the way they've all been going this spring, like, none of those three have done anything to lose their spot. And exactly. Since they've actually played in the majors, if anything, they have more reason to be on the team than Jordan Walker does, because he hasn't even played at AAA yet.
Exactly.
So, even though he's been stellar this spring, and I can't wait to see him come up, I think you got to give the other three their shot first.
I 100% agree with you at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it couldn't hurt to, like, have Walker at least spend some time working on outfield routes and shit like that anyway, you know?
And I think that's where, really, to me, we know that the hitting's there. It's just going to be the fielding and getting comfortable into it. But to Adam's point, I think that that could be where we could definitely have him cycle in just for maybe a few games if injuries happen, stuff like that. Let him go out there and shag a few balls and get the big league experience and get that out of the way too. You know, without the pressure of a, hey, it's your position now. Go for it.
Yeah, but obviously, give those guys, give somebody a day off and let them get, take a shot. You know, I don't think that that's an issue, it's letting him slide in there and give him a shot and just see how he's doing, So at least that way it feels that he feels like he's getting a fair, shake at it as well. He knows, obviously, he might not be in a starting position. However, he at least knows that they're thinking of him, and worst case scenario, he might be able to slide in there. But at least that will give us the confidence that we know that that Walker is the right guy, that worst case scenario, that we have to rely on him.
Right.
All right, guys. Well, let's go ahead and get to one of the biggest things that's going on right now, and that is college basketball. March Madness is upon us now, and we have our brackets filled out. So I'm going to go ahead and pull these up here because for anybody that didn't listen to last session last week, we decided that we're going to have a little fun for bragging rights here, and each of us are going to fill out a bracket. And we are going to do a point system based on the wins, from there. So essentially, if you get one right in the first round, if you pick the team to win the first round, you get 1 point. If you pick a team to win in the second round, 2 points, and then 3 points, so on and so forth. If you pick the winner, you get 10 points. So obviously, there's a lot on the line there. let's go ahead and take a look at some of the brackets here. Do we have a volunteer that wants to go first? Do you guys want me to go first? I don't really care either way. Go through real quick.
You can go ahead.
I have them here.
Yeah, I was gonna say I can pull up mine. That's no problem. Go ahead.
All right. So taking a look at it, Adam, you in your in your Elite Eight, we can just kind of start from there. You have Alabama, Utah State, which Utah State lost to Mizzou. That red definitely
they did.
Yeah. Houston and Texas, which Texas just won. Houston, I think, is actually playing right now. They just tipped off not terribly too long ago. So you have one win there, two wins because Alabama won as well. You also have Tennessee, Kentucky, and then you have UConn and UCLA. Your final four, Alabama and Tennessee. Houston and UCLA. You have Houston beating UCLA, Tennessee over Alabama, and then you have Houston winning it all. Right now, you have a total of 4 points in the round of 64.
Because I ended up picking Alabama, San Diego, Kansas, and Arkansas, I think, were the four that I ended up getting right. And then obviously...
Yeah, You picked West Virginia over Maryland. Maryland won that one.
Yeah.
You had Virginia over Furman.
Which everybody did.
Most of the country did, yeah. Virginia won.
Yeah.
You had Arizona over Princeton. I mean, shame on you.
Shame on me and literally 99.9% of everybody else. So sorry, everybody, but your brackets are busted already.
Pretty much.
I did surprisingly, if you look at the round of 32, I did have Arizona though quickly being dismissed, a quick exit for Arizona in the round of 32, having them lose against Utah State. However, it looks like it was even quicker exit for both of them. So anyway. So I should have went with you. I should have went with Mizzou. My gut said stick with it, but unfortunately, I just didn't feel like we have the luck. But apparently, we do. So we have better luck than Arizona. That's for damn sure.
Yeah,
and better skill at this point. So
yeah, You also had, and this is probably just because they haven't been confirmed just yet here. So Auburn beat Iowa, Duke beat Oral Roberts. That has not come up yet for the points, so it probably just hasn't been like 100% confirmed on the website. Gotcha. And you, Texas over Colgate, and then Boise or over Northwestern over Boise State. Those two just went final. So actually, let me. I'm gonna try refreshing this real quick.
Okay.
And seeing if it updates your points. So you obviously you're higher than four points for sure.
Yeah, technically post.
Yeah, and let me double check. Because I just don't know how far behind this is, but
seems super far. It seems like it's super far behind. It's saying we all still have the same points right now.
Yeah. So we'll keep a track of that, but really you're closer to like 7 or 8 points right now. Yeah.
There we go.
I'm just trying to like go with it.
Really go with it for sure. Yeah.
For sure. All right. OJ, you want to go next or you want me to?
I guess I could go next. Let me pull up my bracket here. So let's walk through the games. So I had Alabama over Texas A&M, CC or whatever. I get community college. I don't know.
Texas A&M.
Community college.
I had West Virginia over Maryland. So that's a loss for me. You know, that was a tough choice. I'm not really mad about that. Those ones always could either go either way.
Yeah, exactly. These 8-9s are really hard to pick.
Yeah, I had San Diego State and Virginia. So Virginia, of course, lost. But luckily, I had San Diego State going beyond them. So hopefully. Yeah. Then let's see. Oh, well, of course, I had Missouri over Utah State because I'm not a traitor. But I only took them as far as the Sweet 16. And I got them. So I in that region I have Alabama Baylor as the people in the Elite Eight. Let's see. I'm not seeing anything final from the East, but there is a Kansas over Howard and Arkansas over Illinois. I picked those. And I've got Arkansas to beat Kansas in the next round, so that's probably gonna ruin my entire bracket.
No, man, Arkansas played really well today.
I mean, that's what I was thinking with that pick. Is I think Arkansas is a better team than an 8 seed, and I think they could upset some people. Like, they were projected to be like a super good team at the beginning of the year, so I don't know. They played tough with Mizzou too, so I think maybe they can give Kansas a run for their money.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, I chose Illinois in my bracket because Arkansas has issues closing out games. And you saw that. They were up by 25 at one point over Illinois. Illinois cut it down to 5 points, had the ball, and caused and just made a really bad bad play. And Arkansas was able to take it away and pretty much, you know, ice the game from there, end up winning by 10. But to me, it was pretty scary to see. You know what I mean? If you're an Arkansas fan, at least.
Sure. But that's also why I didn't pick Illinois, because I just think they're not a very good team. I saw this play. Like, some teams that I've seen Mizzou play, it gives me a much better idea, like a much better feel for them. So, like, Arkansas, I have respect for it. I felt like they played a good game. Illinois, I feel like they're weak. Like, they probably shouldn't have been as highly seeded as they were. So, that's why I went Arkansas. But yeah, so I'm finger crossed they beat Kansas tomorrow. That would be excellent. Or I guess next game, Saturday, I suppose. And then let's see, what other games were there, Josh? Oh, Auburn. I had them over Miami or over Iowa, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, Iowa. And then,
this layout's kind of screwing me up a little bit. They've got the edges of the rounds closer together than the teams that are actually playing each other. but then let's see, I had, Indiana. So I got Indiana and, Miami. So Miami over Drake, Indiana over Kent State. Let's see. Has anyone else played so far? Texas A&M, maybe? Have they played?
No, they have not played. You had Boise State over Northwestern. Northwestern won that game. You did have Texas over Colgate. Texas ended up winning that game as well. That did go to the final. You had Duke over Oral Roberts. That game, got you a point for sure. And you already talked about the Auburn one. So actually, and I'm taking a look at this right now with your bracket. You're currently sitting at 8 points. This thing is way really far behind because it only shows you with 5 points. But you have actual 8 points right now. Just saying.
That sounds sweet. So, OJ and I are tied in. For the time being.
I think you have 7 points.
Adam. Seven. Okay. Gotcha.
I'm about to literally go through real quick and double do my discount double check for you.
Discount double check. All
right. Because you got 1 point, 2 points there for you got 1 point for the Alabama, you got 1 point for San Diego State. You had Auburn winning, so that one did not go final. So that's going to be one added on. So that'll be your 5th point there. This one over. Let's see. You got Texas, which that also didn't show up. So that's at 6 points. That's Kansas and Arkansas. Okay, so there's your other two that you're missing on that. Okay, so then you had Northwestern. Okay, so that's your 7 point there. And then you had Duke, so that's 8 points there. So you are currently tied with OJ.
That's what you're saying, 8-8. So cool. We'll see how long that lives, obviously. But
yeah.
Obviously, we've got a couple more games that we're waiting on finals for. Yeah.
For sure. OJ, who'd you have in your final four, and who'd you have as your champ?
So my final four are Alabama, Purdue, and sorry, hold up. I'm looking at your bracket. Let me go back. Oh, geez. Yeah, let me grab this real quick. Okay, so I do have Alabama Purdue, but then I have Xavier UCLA, and the championship is Alabama UCLA with Alabama winning.
Oh, so you got Alabama winning. All right. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting for sure. Okay. Let me take a look at the blood.
They're a good team.
They're a good team as long as they're not shooting people in the parking lot. But anyways.
Touche. Their fans are publicly advertising that. So I'm just saying. We're not too sure right now.
About who I thought would win the tournament. I wasn't asked about anything else.
You're not lying.
It's not a popularity contest, unfortunately.
Right.
It is definitely not. Give me 1 second. I'm actually just kind of tabulating my scores real quick.
While you're doing I wanted to give I wanted to give you a stat here. So as we're rounding up we're only halfway through the round of 64, I guess. And there's 0.0063% of perfect brackets remaining. There you go.
Yeah.
So,
I'm surprised. All right, so,
I'm really surprised too. And that's just saying though, that's the first day of the first round.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? First day, everyone's brackets busted. Everybody.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Generator, and just generate like a million brackets and just submit all of them.
Like the guy trying to buy all the freaking like Powerball tickets or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, I have to figure out what platform to use and all that.
I think that would be billions. I don't even know how many that would require, but the odds of a perfect bracket are one in, I don't even know what that number is. My God. God,
just say it out loud, like read it out loud.
64 by 64, right?
Apparently, if you flipped a coin, the number is like 9223372036854775808. I don't even know how many. Okay, millions, billions, trillions, quadrillions, centillions. Notation. I don't even know. And apparently, it's 1 in 120.2 billion if you actually know about basketball. That the other number is if you just guess with a flip of a coin. If you actually know something about basketball, it's a 1 in 120 billion. So still, you have better odds of winning, you know, the freaking lottery.
So, you know, skill still matters.
Skill still matters. It's better than flipping a coin. You're right. Because the odds of that are like, I don't even know what that is.
Speaking of skills, let's take a look at my bracket here. And so
it's not doing nearly as well.
So you guys are tied with 8 points. You know, you guys are tied with 8 points. I have six.
Oh,
so I'm not doing that.
Oh, that's not too bad.
No, it's really not that far behind.
I was going to say, it's still very early.
And the other thing, too, is I don't have a lot of the teams that I have lost on. I don't have them going down, like I except Arizona, which I had Arizona, unfortunately, going all the way to the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
So that definitely hurt. I mean, I thought that I chose Baylor over Arizona, but I guess I didn't. That doesn't make any sense. So in our podcast bracket, I must have, and I'll take it, it's not a big deal, I must have hit the wrong button, because in my, like, the one that I submitted to, like the, essentially, it's like an ESPN thing. It's not ESPN, but it's essentially a thing like that where you can try to get the best bracket. I have Baylor going to the Elite Eight, so I must have just accidentally hit Arizona. It's not a big deal. But anyways, yeah, I have Alabama. I had West Virginia. I had San Diego State, and then I had Virginia. Then I had Missouri facing off against Arizona. I had Texas winning. They won, obviously. I did have Iowa over Auburn. Auburn won. I had Kansas, and then I had Illinois instead of Arkansas. Arkansas obviously won that one. And then I had Duke winning over Oral Roberts. That obviously happened as well. So my Elite Eight. So out of the South, I have Alabama versus Arizona. Obviously, Arizona's already out, so I'm really hurting on that one. I have Houston versus Xavier, and then I have St. Mary's versus UCLA in the West. On the East, I have Purdue versus Kansas State. My elite Final Four, Alabama versus Purdue, Houston versus UCLA. I have Purdue over Alabama. I have Houston over UCLA, and so in the championship, Purdue versus Houston, and I have Purdue winning it all. Truthfully, I'm not, like, super confident about it. Purdue always seems to, like, find a way to, like, really fuck shit up. But, you know, they're the, like, kind of lovable losers, and they had a very good season this year. So it's like, well, I'll pick them, you know, although I do feel that Houston could easily be the champ this season for sure.
That's what I have.
Yeah. I think I picked Houston getting knocked off after, like, the Sweet 16. In the Sweet 16, it got knocked off for me.
Yeah.
For something about
that. I have that. Purdue getting knocked out of the 16.
You have who got again knocked out?
I have Purdue getting knocked out in the 16.
But is it Sweet 16? Yeah.
Yeah.
You have them losing to Indiana, OJ, in the Sweet 16, Houston specifically.
Yeah. Yeah. Something about them, I just feel like they're a team that can lose when they should, you know?
Yeah, for sure. What I'll do too is I'll start, I probably won't do it here for this podcast or whatever, but, We'll put it to the socials. Maybe just get an update on our Twitter and our Facebook. What we need to do for our current points, like for you guys are tied with 8 and I have 6. But what's our max point? You know what I mean? What's the max that we possibly can get and stuff like that? I just have to kind of go through and manually tabulate that stuff. But I can figure that one out. I think that my like total max points that I could potentially get are going to be way worse than you guys. Specifically because of I chose Arizona to go into Elite Eight, and that already is
I went with Utah, so that obviously screwed me too on going up to the Sweet 16. So for us in the South, we both got screwed, at least when it came to that, unfortunately. So OJ definitely has the hand, you know, he sort of has the upper hand here when it comes to that for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
You went with Arizona, I went with Utah.
I'm about either to have way, Kansas drop off in the round of the round of 32. So,
yeah,
that's good. So I probably won't last long.
We'll see, man. You know, that's the fun thing about doing this stuff. It, I actually read out a forum that someone's like, can we just do this like 4 times a year for basketball and be done with it? I'm like, I honestly, I kind of want to do that. I think it'd be a lot more fun than what they do for the regular season stuff, just like these games that you just don't really care about, or they don't necessarily matter. Obviously they do, but March Madness is so much fun. You know what I mean? But if you were doing this constantly, then it wouldn't be as much fun either, probably. So.
Right. Too much of a good thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Not sitting down to fill out a packet four times a year, I tell you that much.
Right, exactly. Well, it's gonna be fun though to watch what can end up obviously happening out of the March Madness. We'll get more clear on some of the winners and stuff like that, and because we also didn't get to see all the teams yet, obviously, as March Madness just started today. By next week, we will be into the beginning of the second weekend, so we will start to see some of the teams that are going to go from the Sweet 16 into the Elite Eight and so on and so forth. So we'll have a better picture of what the teams are. So I think that next section or session, we'll probably preview, you know, hey, out of the 16 teams that are remaining, we can rank them, you know what I mean, essentially. For who do you think is going to be, like, in that top five and go from there?
Yeah, because it's still very early. I mean, it's only been 10 hours since it technically has kicked off, so we've got a while to go for sure. So speculation, is all we can base it off of at the time, but we'll have to see how the rest of the – you know, it goes, so.
True. Oh, hey. You see what we did, Adam, for our tiebreak points?
Did we tie?
Yeah.
Or did we tied on the tie? We both in 130? That's funny.
Yeah, dude.
That's hilarious. It was actually funny. So when I looked at the tiebreaker, I thought that was, like, just a thing put in. Because I didn't see it. It changed when I was looking at your two brackets. And all of a sudden, I'm like, wait, no, I have 159. I'm like, oh, wait, hold on. You guys picked the exact same number. That's crazy.
Yeah, that is kind of crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is kind of weird. I didn't really notice it until you mentioned that. But I just looked at that. I was like, that is kind of crazy. We picked the exact same. Yeah, because I had mine submitted.
Probably a little low, mate. Well, we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is,
because I had, like, you know, I'm, you know, it was like 62, you know, like 68 or something, if I remember right. It was something along those lines, if I remember. And that's how I got to like 130. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like probably less than 70 points aside.
That's what I was going with. Yeah.
And some teams.
Yeah, sure. On my
and that's kind of where I was looking at it as. It's like it'll probably be a lower score in that sense, and that's why. And somehow, but that is pretty damn funny that.
Yeah.
On my bracket, the non-podcast bracket that I submitted, I have 135 points for the overall. Yeah.
So I have to look. Technically speaking, I guess we'll have to look and see, like, if we do wind up tying in points. That and everything, as far as if we do go to the tiebreaker, we'll have to see what the next level down is, per se. I know that, you know, in the rules somewhere that will tell us as far as what after the tiebreaker it goes. So
yeah. It's going to be a three-legged sack race, you know.
No. Well, you win. There you go.
Yeah. What is that from basketball? They're like, so we're going to try, like, this is, if the Bears win here, they'll win the East, South, Northern division. And, but if Memphis wins, they will then force a tie. And if a winner doesn't come out from all this, we will have the two-man, three-legged potato sack race that's going to be held on consecutive Sundays.
So, yeah, until the winners decide it.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Jeez.
Dude, that movie is just hilarious. I think I talked to you about that specifically, where they have those, like, championship banners or whatever for, like, winning the division, but it got more specific, like, each and every single year. Like, the first year was like the East Western division winners, and the next one was like East Central West division. Then the next one was like Western side of Michigan, and then, like, the last one was, like, the winner between 56th and 14th Street. Something so stupid. I'm like, that's hilarious. Yeah, I got more specific every time.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Anyways, let's talk some Battlehawks, guys. So, coming off of a very big win in our home opener.
Huge.
Blowing out the
sold out. Yeah. 38,000 and 10, if I remember, in attendance. It was incredible. Yeah,
38,610 people.
610. Okay, my bad.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty ridiculous on the number of people there. I honestly thought, and Adam, since we were at the game, you can correct me, I thought there was more people than that. It felt like there was 50,000 people.
It certainly did. And I think a lot of it was the noise straight up. They measured it to be like 110 decibels for quite a long time. In fact, a lot of people like were posting their like their Apple Watches. I guess it must have like a notification when you're at, you know, like a really loud event or something to like take a break every so often. It was like people were registering on their watches like, hey, you're registering 110 decibels or whatever. You will have severe, you know, hearing impairment after 30 minutes of this. And I'm thinking, well, surprisingly, I didn't have any hearing impairment. It was just more my voice the next morning. Obviously, because yeah, my, you know, but it was a good time. It was definitely shot, but the fans were definitely into it. We were so excited that the Battlehawks finally, you know, had their home opener after four weeks in. Obviously, we were eager for football here in St. Louis. It's been over 1,000 days before we've had a freaking football game in that dome, so long overdue.
Actually trying to look up the decibel record if I can find it. Give me 1 second.
Like decibel like what, record what in the, general? Like ever?
No. I know that was 142 at yeah, Arrowhead. I'm talking about for the dome specifically.
Oh, yeah. That is a good question.
They had fucking playoff football there. Like, that shit was probably so fucking loud.
Well, I'm sure, but I just don't know what it is. You know what I mean?
We need to find out because we're gonna break it, is what he's saying.
They probably
wrote it.
Probably measure it back in those days, huh?
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a good time. Obviously, this coming Saturday was gonna be against our rivals.
Holy crap! Okay, so this to me is absolutely crazily insane. Okay.
Uh huh.
So back in 2003. We for the Rams. This is when it was for the quote unquote Edward Jones Dome, because that's obviously what it was called before. That's when the record was set for the Edward Jones Dome. It was 125.8. So wow. To put that in perspective, we were only 15 off, and that was with a crowd of 65,000 people.
Oh wow! So that was literally a crowd of double what we had.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we had 38,000.
Don't forget that decibels are by like orders of magnitude or something. Like I forget exactly what it is, but like, you know, one decibel higher is actually a lot more than what it sounds like.
Well, like, no, I know it is, right?
It's a decent difference, is what I'm saying.
But regardless, though, you know,
it's
what I mean?
Still obviously, you know.
Yeah, and you are 100% right on that, OJ. But just comparing that, though, just for comparison,
it was loud.
In fact,
it was very loud. In fact, it was so loud that they were going to, they were going to the silent, silent count and whatnot as well. They DC, yeah. Or I'm sorry, they had to. So
Arlington.
Yeah, I was already talking about week five. But anyway, yeah, Arlington had to go to silent count because it was so loud.
It's beautiful, man. I miss seeing that kind of stuff in St. Louis.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
So, right. So yeah, it was a good game. Go ahead.
So let's just do it this way because this is going to be a little bit easier. I'm just trying to do some quick math. And I think I did this completely wrong, actually. But what I was trying to do was trying to break down like the percentage, essentially what we could potentially have achieved at, like if we had sold out the dome completely, you know, at the 65,000 people. So give me a second. Yeah. See, I did the math completely wrong. I don't know. But I was just kind of curious on, oh, you know what? Hold on. I think I just did it wrong. I'm going to try to divide, just round this up to 126,000 or 126 divided by, what was it, 66,000 people? Right. So that breaks down to a ridiculously small number. And I guess that would be like the decimal per person, right? So that makes sense. And so then. we were going to do the exact same thing. It was 110, I know what we got up to, right? That was what was being reported, right?
Yeah, at least 110 is what I was what I was saying, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I remember reading as well. So, all right. So, breaking this down per person, right? That would be 0.00191 for the Rams. 0.00282 for the Battlehawks game. So just putting that in comparison here, 0.00282 times 66,000, we would never ever be able to hit that, but at 186 decibels, there's no friggin' way. But it was loud. You know what I mean? Like, I think that there was a chance of. Go ahead.
Well, what I'm saying is decibels don't go up in a linear fashion. Like,
I know.
So it's kind of throwing and again, off after doing there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm just trying to get this some sort of comparison, but truthfully, there's not going to be a correlation, you know what I mean? Or a linear comparison, really, because, again, as you said, the math really just doesn't equate for it.
I am sure a comparison could be done, though. I think you'd just, we'd have to put a little more thought into it.
to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
One way we can do this is obviously if everybody buys out the dome, we've opened up the 400s again for this Saturday. So get those tickets. They're only $18 a piece, it's an incredible deal, $18, and you can get a great seat, through a great game. So
for sure. Come support.
Support your local teams, support your local football, because honestly, we're going to be carrying the league.
Yep. So, we're going to get all the good calls from the refs and stuff. Like, we'll get a chance to be the New York
team. I hope. There were some questionable things as well that were going necessarily against us as well. So,
There definitely were.
But
there was a false start, though, in the third.
I haven't gotten on him about it yet. He'll let him know by the end of the season, I promise you.
Yeah, sure. What were you saying, Josh? The false start.
So in the third quarter, they definitely had a false start when they were in our red zone, and they got a false start. And you could tell that was by us, the crowd. And the defensive players knew it, too, because if you remember, Adam, they immediately started, the pump up. Like, half the defense was, get loud, because they knew that we caused that. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody was screaming, 12th man, 12th man. I remember that. Yeah.
I love that interaction, man. That's so sick.
It truly was. You could definitely tell how loud we were, that it definitely got into his head, for sure. So.
Yeah.
It was a very cool experience to be close to the field too, and remember that after the interception, like one of the interceptions, that the defense came like pretty much right over there.
Yeah, literally, the interception came literally right in front of us. We're like 8-10 rows or whatever it is, straight ahead. They were right there, and it was fucking awesome. So, and I was gonna say honestly, for the ticket prices, you can't beat it. I mean, for the experience you get, because everything else nowadays is ridiculously priced. I mean, literally everything. I'm not even going to go into the whole, how much shit costs. We all know that, but you get a lot of bang for your buck right now for that. I'm not going to lie. So
$18 to see a professional football game.
Yeah, $18. $18. What else can you do with $18 freaking and you're going to be entertained, for a couple hours like that? Not a damn thing, for real. So
buy Rocket League skins.
I was gonna say that's gonna give you how much joy, It's like, that's cool for a little while, but
I could buy the season pass.
I guess
I've never.
It's like you could spend a couple $100 and you get a whole season. You get a season ticket, to go see the Battlehawks. So there you go. And also, get some cool fan experiences on top of it. So.
Yeah. Let's talk about real quick the Week 5 matchup here. So we had a rematch of the Control of the North. We're facing the DC Defenders. Obviously, for number – yeah. No. There's a couple things I want to point out here. DC is definitely a running team. They have the number 2 and number 3 rushers in the league, with Jordan Tamu being that number 3, just saying. But also, Brian Hill is number 4 and also didn't play in Week 2. That also, I think, is going to see the evolution of the Battlehawks' offense is Brian Hill for sure.
Definitely,
but looking 100%. At the QB matchup, yeah, look at the QB matchup specifically. AJ McCarron, third in yards, third in completed percentage, and second in touchdowns. Right. Comparing this to Tamu is fifth in yards, ninth in completed percentage, and 10th in touchdowns. Yes, there's eight teams, but he's 10th in eligible quarterbacks because there's been two splits. So he's only got one touchdown through the air this season compared to AJ McCarron's like 10.
Yeah, and I will say that our defense could possibly have played him better. He has struggled this season so far. I saw part of his first game playing against I think it was Seattle. They played week one, but he was splitting time with this King guy.
So.
And when Tommy was in there, he had a bad pick, and like he seems like he might struggle, be having a tough time in the passing game this year. So, not that I think he wouldn't turn it around if we got it, but
the problem is this, their defense is gonna, I'm more concerned about their defense, obviously stopping us constantly. It's what like we had seen time after time after time a couple of weeks ago in DC. So
you're gonna get stopped sometimes. You're not.
We're gonna get stopped a lot, and that's what I'm concerned about.
Here's the thing, though, Adam.
We're not throwing on third, on third down. We're literally running, we were talking about this the other day, Josh. Like, we're literally, third and nine, and we're running, and maybe get like 2 yards at most, because previously we had lost yardage, half the time. So it's just like the decisions that are being made in the plays, that are being communicated are just absolute garbage sometimes,
I truly believe last week in the second half the team offensively turned a corner. It wasn't
they
great.
Did for sure. I'm talking about the game against DC though, a couple weeks ago.
But yeah, I know, right? Obviously.
That was terrible.
So
but yeah, no, they were looking great last week for sure. They definitely turned it around in that second half for sure. That's what I hope to continue to see this come Saturday.
Same.
Yeah, for sure. I think that the running game is going to unlock everything too. I think that Brian Hill is going to be able to come out and it hit the under over for his rushing yards. I think is like 50 something. And I took the over for it. I think he's going to get close to 80 yards. And I think it's going to unlock and take pressure off of AJ McCarron. The offensive line seems to have been being played better. And AJ McCarron's moving out of the pocket better too. I don't believe he got sacked at all last week. And so I think that really helps out quite a bit. Now AJ McCarron also threw another interception.
He did.
So he got to, and he almost threw another one. Remember that one that I thought was picked up? Like I think we all saw
it. And he actually I was gonna say they thought they had it picked as well. I think everybody did, but fortunately for us and unfortunately for him, did not didn't line out of that ball. Yeah, it went right through. But
Yeah,
the thing is that he's continuing to overthrow still. We're seeing that.
The play calling needs to be, I think, a little bit better, more competitive, right? You heard my belly aching just be competitive football team. It's like in the red zone, and here we are running until he got the wide open throw on third down to the end zone. But again, that stuff will happen, but hopefully we have now gotten a better stride. Our defense has been carrying us, I think, this year so far. And, we're going to be hitting that halfway point and can kind of look in the rearview mirror and just say, okay, so what needs to change for the second half? What went well for the first half? What needs to change for the second half of the season, right?
So, right. I mean, honestly, we are 3-1. We could be a fan of the Vegas Vipers or the Orlando Guardians, but we're a fan of the Battlehawks, and we're going to win this league this first year.
Yeah, I agree. I think that we have the chance to be able to do it. And to me, once it gets to crunch time, that's where the experience comes out. That's to me, we've seen that twice already with AJ McCarron specifically, and almost a third time, kind of, not really. But he seems to play better though when everything is crunch time. And I think that, again, it just comes with the experience.
Yeah, that's my favorite quality of a player.
Yeah, that veteran presence that can definitely know how to win. You know what I mean? Might not be how it's up on paper and stuff like that. It might be ugly, but you can still win a damn game.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, all right, gents. It was great talking to you again this week. We'll see, sure, obviously, how, you know, or what keeps going on here with the March Madness and stuff. And hopefully we'll come back with another Battle Hawk win on Saturday. And hopefully I'll get some autographs from Austin Prohl.
I'm actually in the point where I like can't wait for the Battle Hawks.
I'm looking forward to it. You know, hey, it's
come down, OJ. You gotta come down
for real. $18, dude.
Yeah, I know.
It's a good time, man.
Yeah, I will one of these games. I'm pretty sure. I gotta talk.
You won't regret it.
Girlfriend's brother about heading out there.
It's good to say.
All right, gents.
And anybody out there listening, for sure, if you haven't made it down, definitely you should at least make an effort to come down for one game, because you will definitely have a good time. The atmosphere is great. The fans are great. And support your local teams, you know. That's what it's all about. So that way we can keep them here.
Yep.
Yep. As always, too, check out our the website. We do have a website, you know, thehometownlosers.com. Adam's our social media guru. We got Twitter and Facebook. You want to talk about that for a second, Adam?
Yeah, yeah. So you can definitely go to Facebook. If you type in The Hometown Losers, that's LOUSERS, The Hometown Losers Podcast. You can find us on Facebook. Give us a like. We're always posting up there all of our episodes, as well as you know, some other content as well, so you can interact with us. You can also find us on Twitter. Our handle is at Hometown Losers. Once again, LOUSERS.
Yeah, and, it looks like
what's up?
It looks like Louser.
It does. Yeah, we're the losers. Yes, so that's what it is. There's a dash. That's where we're typically a dash, but unfortunately, we couldn't actually put that in our Twitter handle. But it is what it is. But yeah, so that's why if you do go to Twitter, the R at Hometown LOUSERS.
It sounds like a local pest control company. Oh man! Oh boy!
All right, gents. Exactly. Give us a like, and again, if you have any questions or you want us to answer any questions, definitely put the comments out there, and we'll definitely be able to get to them. So, as always, gents, it was great talking to you, and we will see you next week here on the Hometown Losers Podcast.
Hey, this is Josh. Thanks for checking out and tuning in to the Hometown Losers Podcast. Check us out next week as we continue our silliness and talk a little bit about the St. Louis sports scene. Catch you next week.